All right, sorry about that. I was double muted. Good afternoon, everybody. I'll just try to give you as brief an overview as I can of how maybe a similar situation played out here in Ohio several years ago. It's actually happened over quite a long period of time. I got my start in the public health realm of things in 1998 and began my involvement in the on-site sewage system program in 2002. And right around that time, 2002-2003, there was a proposed draft of updated sewage system rules, on-site sewage system rules, kind of put out there for public consumption by Ohio Department of Health, which would have hopefully replaced the existing on-site system rules, which were enacted in 1977. So we've gone upwards of 25 years without an update of any kind in the Ohio State Sewage Code. Unfortunately, at that time, I guess they kind of, Ohio Department of Health kind of put the cart before the horse and had these draft rules in place, but there was no legislation to enable them to actually adopt those rules. Around 2005, there was a new law adopted, a bill signed into law that required Ohio Department of Health to develop new sewage treatment system rules, required those rules to take effect no later than January 1st of 2007. And I think this was mid-2005 that this happened. So all of a sudden they had what they asked for, had the authority to adopt new sewage treatment system rules, but only had a year and a half to do it. And during that time period, there were probably 2 to 3 different draft iterations of those rules with opportunities for public comment each time. And these new rules were put into place, became effective January 1st of 07. And this was, again, the first update since 1977. So we're trying to bridge a 30-year gap here. We went from probably 25 or 30 pages of rules to over 100 pages of rules. Things got considerably more complicated. Many of the systems required under the new rules were bigger and more expensive than what had been put in a lot of jurisdictions previously. And the although a year and a half sounds like a lot of time, the rushed implementation of these rules made things difficult. At the beginning of 2007, there was a requirement in these new rules that any discharging systems that were put in replacement situations, because there was no option for soil absorption, had to meet certain criteria and had to be approved by the director of Ohio Department of Health. And because this infrastructure was put into place very quickly, there was no opportunity for approval of those systems prior to January 1st. So we started the year with the possibility of encountering a situation where we'd have to put in a permit a system to be put in, and we would have no options to legally do that. Also, some forms weren't developed yet. It was just was thrown together pretty quickly to comply with the deadline and their legislation. And there was so much change and so much pushback that by July 1st or July of 2007, there was new legislation adopted or put into place that rescinded the rules that were adopted in January 2007. So it goes back to the 1977 version of the rules as interim rules, but the law was still in place that required some things to be done over and above what the 1977 administrative code rules called for. Primarily, we were not able to permit installation of discharging systems for any new home construction, and there were some different requirements pertaining to soil absorption systems that ended up requiring local health departments to adopt supplemental rules to bridge the gap between where the 1977 rules left off and the 2007 law required us to be. So, fast forward to 2010, Ohio Revised Code 3718 took effect and provided a basic framework again for Ohio Department of Health to develop new rules, but this time specified, instead of a deadline, that the new rules could not be adopted before January of 2012. So, again, there was in the neighborhood of a year and a half at a minimum that was going to be spent developing these rules. And in the fall, I believe it was 2010, the Ohio Department of Health convened a rule advisory committee with a broad representation similar to the technical advisory committee mentioned in this Michigan draft, but it was bigger and had larger representation for each category of constituents. So we had regulators, we had installers, service providers, haulers, soil scientists, academics, pretty much anybody, manufacturers, anybody that you think of that would have an interest in these on-site rules was at the table. And personally, I was in the room for a lot of those meetings. I was a local health department at-large representative. But this started again in fall of 2010, I believe. And the first draft of rules, the first comprehensive draft, was not released for public comment until 2012 in December. During the comment period between December 2012 and March 2013, over 2,000 public comments were received. And according to the Department of Health's website, they incorporated 54.5% of those suggestions into the next version of the next draft of the rules. So, then this process continued through a couple more drafts, and I have to say from my involvement on the Rule Advisory Committee that it was a very transparent process. Ohio Department of Health sewage staff were very open to suggestions coming from people in the room and on the phone on ways to tweak this draft, and we didn't always reach complete agreement because there's a lot of differences across the state. But at times it almost felt like the committee was writing the rules. We were very involved and it was very transparent. But at the conclusion of that process, January 1st, 2015, the new rules took effect. And unlike 2007, because the change wasn't as drastic, because for 8 years we had been operating really closer to what those 2007 rules had been than to what the 1977 rules were. There was not near the pushback. Those rules are still in effect today, more than 3 years later. And just a couple things about the process. Again, multiple drafts with public comment periods are routine for Ohio development. It's a pretty transparent process. Most rules, once they're in place, are reviewed every 5 years. These are administrative code rules for various programs. Again, the Rule Advisory Committee was very open to input from the committee members. They did offer a virtual meeting option where members didn't have to travel to Columbus every time. You could listen in on the phone and follow along in a webinar type format. That was an attractive option for me because I was a couple hours away from where those meetings were taking place, but it didn't turn out to work out very well because it was hard to hear the conversation in the room and when you had the kind of a hybrid between what we're doing today, where everybody's online listening to each other. We actually had maybe 30 people in a room in Columbus and a dozen people on phones around the state. And it was just, you couldn't capture all of that conversation that was going on in the room, not to mention the nonverbal communication that can be so important at times. I felt that it was wise that the second time around, instead of establishing a deadline, the law established the earliest date the rules could be adopted and left the deadline open-ended. And that was very helpful to us because it took a lot of time and deliberation to try to appropriately make the updates that were needed over a 30-plus year period of not really changing anything in the regulations. Currently, most of what is in the rules has become fairly common practice, to my knowledge. Ohio Department of Health is finally beginning surveys of local health department sewage programs, which they should come every 3 years is the way the rules are written. they come to the local health departments and go through kind of an audit or a survey of our programs to make sure that we're implementing the rules properly and to identify opportunities for improvement. There's still some variation between counties and regions, even though we do have one statewide set of rules. Some of that varies. Some of that is due to varying site and soil and geology across the state. And of course, we're all humans, so some of it has to do with differences between communities, health departments, and even individual inspectors. So, but just to conclude, one negative that a lot of people perceive about these new regulations, relatively new regulations, is that a lot of the systems are considerably more expensive than before the 2007 and the 2015 rules took effect. But a benefit that I believe, especially from the public health side, that we've realized after going through this process is that we have discontinued a long time practice in many parts of Ohio of installing, discharging subsurface sand filters for new construction that didn't, arguably didn't provide really adequate treatment. We've moved on to an emphasis on soil absorption systems and have been pretty successful with that to this point.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Some of you have noted that the sound may not have been quite good there, and I want to bring over a very appropriate little symbol that we use. If we do run into any technical issues, please be assured that we will reschedule this. But because this is such an important event today, we have set up a conference line. If the whole thing goes pear-shaped, if we do lose the connection, which has only actually happened twice, I think, this is the conference call number 2. This is not this. This will be a separate one. Here is the access code. But please remember that this is only if we lose the event altogether. So make a note of that in case we need to. Jason cannot stay for the whole event today. We have blocked out 2 hours. This may go a little bit longer, but we will see. And just to give you a quick recap of exactly how we're going to handle this, we are going to look at each page in turn. If you have comments and you would like to mark up this page or enable your microphone, please let me know in the chat window. Be happy to do that for you. If you, again, remember, if you are on the phone, please mute your line if you are not speaking. Otherwise, we're going to get a lot of feedback because quite a few people are using the phone conference line today. After we've gone through the sections and before we get too much later in the afternoon, we'd like to bring in the folks from DEQ who are on this call today to answer some of the questions as they go along. We're going to ask you not to get ahead of where we are in reviewing the draft. It's too difficult to go backwards and forwards through each page. So we're going to take it one page at a time, one step at a time. Jason, there are a couple of questions for you. Scott would like to know, and I think you pretty much answered this, about what the percentage of representation was from the local public health departments in the stakeholder group. Yep, don't forget to unmute your line, Jason.
Do you think it was my first day? I can provide a little more detailed answer on that, not really in terms of percentage, but in terms of numbers. I would say there were probably 10 to 12 local public health department representatives on this in the stakeholder, in the rule advisory committee, or at least there was opportunity for that many. I believe there were 4 representatives representing the Ohio Environmental Health Association, which is our kind of a sanitarian professional organization in Ohio. There were also 4 spots for local health department at large representatives, of which I was one. And then I believe the Association of Ohio Health Commissioners also had at least 2 spots, maybe 4 spots on that rule advisor committee. So local health departments were given a pretty substantial voice in the process.
And a question from Mike Stevens, who's asking how the process was actually funded and how is the funding mechanism now for Ohio?
Well, I'm not sure at what level we're talking. The state sewage program, the program that oversees this, and if I'm missing the point of your question, maybe you can elaborate in the chat window as I'm talking here, but the state has a staff of, I believe, three people right now, three, maybe four people in the household sewage program, and at least a large part of the funding, I believe, for that comes from state fees that are charged each time we issue installation permits at the local level. So each time we issue a permit, I believe we transmit, I want to say $74 onto the State Department of Health to help fund their program. And that allows them to provide some technical assistance to conduct the surveys that I've talked about before on local health department sewage programs. Also, of course, would fund, you know, help fund the time that they spend providing education or working on rule revision packages, draft packages, you know, participating in those meetings and that kind of thing. I don't know. I can't say for sure if they're entirely funded through those fees or if there might be some general fund money in there. You'd have to, I guess, contact Ohio Department of Health's sewage program to get more information about that. But a large portion of it does come from fees collected at the local level.